The following is a paid program. Gold Coast Broadcasting is not responsible for its content.
We're Newstalk 1590 KVTA Ventura.
Smith receives additional compensation for his participation during this paid program.
It's time now for Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Now, here's your host, Colin Fluxman.
Hi, and welcome to the show. On the air each Saturday at this time, where we talk about divorce. Today, we'll be discussing child custody. Lisa Zonder is our divorce attorney, and Jerry Cohn talks money matters. Hello, Lisa and Jerry.
Hi, Colin.
Hi, Colin.
Welcome once again. We also have Marianne Aronson in the studio. She's a marriage, family, and child therapist. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Colin.
We'll take your calls on 805-650-1590, 805-650-1590 on today's topic, and any other divorce-related questions you'd like to put to our panel of experts. 805-650-1590. I'm Colin Fluxman. You may email Lisa at divorcetalkradioventura.com. That's L-I-S-A at divorcetalkradioventura.com. There are many issues you have to deal with when going through a divorce, and probably one of the most emotional and stressful is who gets the kids, when and where. And it's not just a matter of resolving the custody issue, but the devastating effects of divorce on the children. According to Robert E. Emery in his book Renegotiating Family Relationships, custody contests are one of the most frequent sources of litigation in the U.S. Also, a custody dispute epitomizes perhaps the worst thing about divorce, finding yourself in the middle of a war between your parents. Now, before we get into the psychological and emotional aspects of child custody, Lisa, please explain the concept of legal custody.
Sure, Colin. When we use the term joint or legal custody, we mean the decision-making powers that parents have when it comes to making decisions that affect their children's health, education, and welfare. So as an example, with joint legal, both parents get to decide which school their children go to, or they jointly select the doctor. And as a general rule, most parents are going to share joint legal custody, but there are some exceptions. So parents can share legal custody, but it doesn't mean that they necessarily share physical custody. So you might ask, why is legal custody so important? If you have joint legal custody rights, it gives you, the parent, input when it comes to selecting therapists, psychiatrists, extracurricular activities, schools, and other important decisions that affect your children. On the other hand, if you get sole legal custody, it means that only one parent has that right to make all those major decisions, and they can do so without getting the other parent's input, which is a very important point. So there are some alternatives for the judges, beyond just the joint custody label and the sole legal custody label. They also have the ability to do some other nifty things, like say that one parent will be the ultimate decision maker or the tiebreaker if the parents disagree on a particular subject, like which doctor to go to or whether the kid goes to a particular psychiatrist or extracurricular activities. And that would normally be in a case where parents don't necessarily agree on those topics, and there's high conflict and they just don't have the ability to settle things, and it happens often. Another option is if the judge sees the parents can't get it together to make joint decisions, they may carve out or divvy up the legal decision-making rights between the parents depending on the particular issues. So, for example, if dad's a physician, dad may get to make the decisions on medical issues. And mom might get to decide school issues if she's particularly passionate and committed around the issue of schools.
So if mom gets sole legal custody, does that mean mom also gets sole physical custody?
No, Colin. The two concepts are not tied together in that way.
So what if parents disagree on legal custody decisions, such as enrollment of child in the school or selection of a practitioner, medical practitioner?
Right. If the parents have joint legal, they're supposed to share the responsibility. But if they disagree, they're going to need to either go to mediation or seek some decision from a judge. So if parents are in Ventura County, for example, before a hearing is held, the judge is going to send the parties to a child custody recommending counselor. We've called the child custody recommending counselor the mediator. So you'll hear me say mediator. That's the court mediator. And if parties don't reach an agreement and you're in Ventura County, the mediator's recommendation is going to be submitted to the judge for consideration, and then the judge is going to make a decision ultimately based on, you know, taking into consideration what each parent is arguing and also what the mediator's recommending.
So we've discussed legal custody. Maybe you can touch on physical custody now.
Right. And physical custody is a completely different concept from legal custody because that refers to where the children live and how much time they're going to spend with each parent. And there are many different types of arrangements that could be made. For example, parents can share custody equally on a 50-50 basis. And Marianne will, I think, talk a little bit more about parenting plans and some other options and varieties of parenting arrangements. But, you know, what's interesting is the research shows about what helps kids do best after their parents split is that it's really important to have both parents involved. So when parents make their parenting plans, they need to take that into consideration. The research shows that if you lose an actively engaged parent, it leads to more long-term problems for the children. And, you know, sometimes you'll see parental conflict is really high. And so what would you do with a parenting plan in that situation? You know, in those cases, you might have one parent with primary physical custody and the other one who has, you know, a specified parenting time where, you know, the dad gets Johnny on, you know, alternating weekends, you know, Friday through Sunday from six, you know, six on Friday or, you know, to Sunday at six, something along those lines. Or, you know, parents, if they are getting along better, they can reach agreements on their own to share custody. For example, they may say, based on the age of the children, you know, we're going to share week on, week off, or they're going to do a 5-5-2-2 or something along those lines. And again, Marianne Aronson is with us, and she'll detail that a little bit more in just a little bit.
I have one question in that regard. Does the interest of the child or the wishes of the child, is that taken into account in any way in figuring out physical custody?
Yes, Colin, and I'm going to detail that more a little bit later in the show. But yes, I mean, the courts right now with new statutes definitely can take into account the interest of the child and even take testimony from children above the age of 14. And how that's done, we can get into in a little bit.
All right. So can you explain how parents figure out physical custody arrangements for their children?
Right. The parents, they have a lot of options if they're agreeing. That makes it a lot easier. So they can reach agreements over the kitchen table, so to speak. The plans can be very simply stated or they can be very, very detailed, as I'm sure Marianne and I will talk about in just a bit. Or they could be working with a collaborative divorce team of professionals. And we've talked about collaborative divorce a little bit on the show. So they would have a CPA or a mental health professional and a legal professional all involved, the collaborative team lawyer, all involved in the case. And that's a possibility. But I would add a personal comment here, which is that the lawyers should consider working with a consultant or a team, since lawyers generally haven't received specific training when it comes to children's developmental stages or the conflict between parents or their dynamics. So whenever parenting plans come up, for me as a lawyer, I definitely want to make sure that I'm either working with somebody who's trained or I'm working with a collaborative divorce interdisciplinary team of professional. But if parents seek help with parenting plans from the courts, the judge is going to send them first to the child custody recommending counselor or the mediator, which is what I referred to earlier.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Sonderstyle, coming to you each week on AM 1590 KVTA from 3 to 4 p.m. This week we're focusing on child custody. Call us on 805-650-1590. Our special guest this week is Marianne Aronson, a family and child therapist. And we'll get to you, Marianne, in just 1 minute. Are you and your spouse at the stage in your life where it's time to move on? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Attorney Lisa Zonder can help you through this process, providing a number of legal options, like traditional court divorce and out-of-court options such as mediation and collaborative divorce. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com.
ZonderFamilyLaw.com.
I was impressed with Lisa Zonder's knowledge and professionalism, and I'm grateful for her affable attitude through the process. I'm happy with the final product.
Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at ZonderFamilyLaw.com. Mention you heard it on the radio, and your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. Lisa Zonder at 805-777-7740 or email lisa@zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura and surrounding areas.
Colin, now that we're back, I just want to mention one other quick point here. In terms of parents being able to figure out physical custody arrangements, if they go to the courts and they're sent to court-ordered mediation, they're going to have some limitations on the amount of time they're given to be able to develop the parenting plan. So oftentimes parents will also use a private child custody mediator, and that could be somebody like Marianne Aronson, who we have with us.
Marianne, how do you help parents create parenting plans?
Well, I get to bring the two parents together in my room, and generally they have had some degree of high conflict by the time they get to me. And what my job is then is to see how we can get at least to some degree onto the same page. And frequently I find that when they start talking about their specific children, that's when that begins to happen. So I have them bring a photograph or photographs of their child. I post it where we can all see that in the room. And
a
that,
nice big blow up, right?
Yes, as large as possible, because when the heat begins to rise in the room, we can bring them back. That's the thing that they agree on, is that they both love this child and they both want this child to thrive.
Right.
The other another thing that I do from the start is that I facilitate them writing a mission statement for their co-parenting. I'm going to refer to the term co-parenting as frequently as the term mediation, because to me that's all in the same basket.
Right.
I consider myself a co-parenting specialist, and I love working with those parents to try to get them working together. And frequently they come in with very different positions on what they think should happen. And our job, I'm sure Lisa has talked in the past about collaborative process, and what we do is to try to get to the interests behind their positions. And that's a big piece of what I do, is to try to soften them out of their conflictual stances and to get to what's working for children.
Right, and on that point of conflict, what if the parents are in high conflict, and how do you help them resolve that conflict?
I frequently don't go into the past with them at all, because if I do that, it's all he said, she said, and their stories are 180 degrees apart, and we're never going to reach consensus. So I will frequently say, I wasn't there, I can't help you with that, so let's see if we can make an agreement now so that from here forward that doesn't continue to happen.
Yes. And the different parenting styles, how do you handle that?
You know, even in nuclear families, we have different parenting styles from one parent to another. And I actually most of the time tell parents that's kind of good for children. Because just as having to deal with Mrs. Needle in third grade and Mr. Ross in fourth grade, kids learn how to deal with different styles of authority in their lives. They can deal with different parenting styles between their parents. They don't have to have the same rules or styles at each household.
But that's bound to lead to some kind of conflict, right? Because of the different styles.
Yes.
The parent in house one has a style, and the kid goes home to parent two and says, well, dad says this or mom says this, it's a different style. How do you
Right. Well, if the parents are now starting to work together, dad can now say, you know, I'll check with your mom about that. And the kid's like, oops, busted. They don't get to just say different stuff to each one now, because they're working together in an umbrella sort of way around that.
So that's the key, to get them to work together and be on the same page.
Yeah, and the only time I think that the different styles is hugely problematic, well, two times. One is when a child is really acting out. And that's, I think, a cry to have the parents working together and tightening up their rules so that they have more stability across households. And the other time is when those styles are so polarized that I remember one family I worked with that dad allowed this 14-year-old boy to go out at all hours of the night. He gave him lots of money to play with. He didn't mind him having his friends over smoking pot. Mom, on the other hand, was extremely strict. So then you find, of course, the kid's going to want to be at the laissez-faire household and not at the strict household. And in that case, I try to encourage parents to sort of meet closer to the middle in their parenting styles.
Jerry, can we look at money matters for a moment now? How can the parents best understand what the financial impact could be when there is a move away?
I always start out with something like that on looking at a budget, and a lot of in a lot of cases, and parents are going through so many other things, they don't think about that, and I try to pull them back, and particularly with the move away, if they haven't, if both haven't done some exploration on what housing costs are there, and it depends also how far away it may be. If someone's moving out of state, just a visitation could be a plane ride and a plane ticket, and maybe even days off of work to get there. So there's a lot of financial issues that they haven't had to account for, beside having two households, which is typical in any divorce. So I try to get them to start with, try to get a practical budget, maybe even take a visit to this new area for, you know, both of them together or separately to see what the cost of living is there. Is the parent who's having to travel to visit the child going to have to stay in a hotel overnight? Is it close enough it's just a day visit? So all those should be factored in, all the other expenses that are changing just because they're splitting two households.
Right. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, coming to you each week on AM 1590 KVTA from 3 to 4 p.m. This week, we're focusing on child custody. Do you have any questions? Call us on 805-650-1590. We're here to take your questions and your calls, 805-650-1590. Our email address is lisa@divorcetalkradioventura.com. Also, check us out on Facebook at Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Lisa, back to you for a moment. How long does court-ordered custody mediation last?
The court-ordered custody mediation sessions, they can last for different amounts of time depending on each court. But some courts are limited and only able to offer parents one-hour appointments. Others are able to give more extended sessions of 2 to 3 hours each. But because the court has different resources available to parents, you know, it's something you might want to ask before you set up your mediation appointment so you can be well prepared for it. And if you do want to spend more time with the mediator because your case is particularly complicated or involved, you may want to go to a child custody mediator who's a private mediator, not necessarily through the courts. And maybe they can also be prepared to make some recommendations to the judge if that's desirable. But the private mediators I've worked with generally will spend more time with the parents. They may give somewhere between 3 and 6 hours, just depending on what the needs of the families are. And this is typically a mental health professional like Marianne Aronson who can help them develop parenting plans. And it might cost more money in the end for them, but it also can be very valuable for the clients because it helps them resolve their differences and work out the parenting plan that's going to support their children and their family. And it's something that they can go back, and if they need to troubleshoot, you know, parenting plans can change over time, they can go back to the same private mediator for that.
The terms parallel parenting and cooperative parenting, Marianne, can you explain that, please?
Oh, sure. Just as in child development theory, we discovered some time ago that young children like a year and a half old could play together in the sandbox. They didn't know how to play interactively at that time. They could sit next to each other and play separately, and that would be fine as long as nobody's throwing sand or grabbing toys. And similarly, when parents are very high conflict and they can't get together, they can't have transitions in person without a great deal of tension or outright conflict, we've discovered that they can parallel parent. In order to parallel parent, they have to have a parenting plan that is very precise and very detailed. And what that means is that they are less likely to have opportunities for conflict.
Is that difficult to follow?
Not so much.
But it's so precise.
No, well, they have to be responsible adults, mm-hmm. that which might or might not be the case. But it does help to know precisely what time you are supposed to have your child back and where, and if those transitions can happen in a neutral way, such as back to school on Monday morning instead of transitioning at mom's house or dad's house at 9 p.m. on Sunday, then it's easier for them.
Of course, there has to be flexibility, and I think parents have to work together, right? I mean, if the kids want to do this, spend an extra hour, if the other parent is flexible, it's so much better, isn't it?
A cooperative parenting plan is more child-centered. However, a precise parenting plan that precludes so much conflict is better for a child than having the parents tense and arguing in the children's presence.
Right. 805-650-1590 is the number to call if you have any questions for our panel of divorce experts. A significant portion of most divorce settlements involve financial issues, especially in today's tough economic times. Jerry Cohen, a regular guest on the show and a divorce financial planning specialist, will help you and your spouse reach a fair and equitable financial settlement. Having the right information now can help you from having to revisit tax and financial issues in the future. Call Jerry Cohen on 805-200-5044, 805-200-5044, or email jcohen@cdfplanning.com. jcohen@cdfplanning.com. Visit the website at californiadivorcefinancialplanning.com for more information. Are you contemplating divorce? Maybe you've already filed for divorce and are overwhelmed by the process, or you're in the midst of a divorce and not sure what to do next. Well, we have the answer for you. The Second Saturday Divorce Workshop. Explore the legal, financial, and emotional aspects of divorce. Discover community resources available to help you. Talk with others experiencing similar life changes. Learn from experts who have guided others through divorce. Workshops are held at 2625 Townsgate Road, Suite 330, Westlake Village, on the second Saturday of each month from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Register by calling 805-372-1810. 805-372-1810, or email us at secondsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. That's 2ndsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. Call 805-372-1810. 805-372-1810. If you're looking for workshop locations other than Westlake Village, check out the website at wife.org. That's wife.org. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, coming to you each week on AM 1590 KVTA from 3 to 4 p.m. This week we're focusing on child custody. Do you have any questions? The number to call, 805-650-1590. Jerry, in your experience, what is one of the most costly issues for the parents related to a move away?
I think one of the most costly and one that gets overlooked quite a bit is when the and parents are located in two different locations now compared to before. That could be a big one, and perhaps maybe even a little bigger is if they're not agreeing on something, this is whether they're moving away or not, and they want to fight it out in court. The move away fights seem to be a lot more dragged out and more experts brought in and harder on the children and everyone. So I see that as probably emotionally and financially the most draining.
Jerry, are you talking about the custody evaluation costs and the litigation costs there?
Both of those.
Okay.
Lisa, what do judges consider important in issuing child custody orders?
Well, the child custody decisions are very specifically based on the facts of a case, and so it's going to be on a case-by-case basis for the judges, and the courts look at all of the different circumstances and facts that are available to do what it thinks is best for the children. So again, just to reiterate, in Ventura County, the mediator's recommendations will be taken into account when the court develops a child custody order. But they're also going to be weighing best interests, and a lot of people kind of say, what does that mean? It could be a lot of different factors, the child's relationship with each of the parents, ability to provide for the children, including love and affection, food, shelter, clothing, stable and continuous environment, the moral character of the parents, the health, the child's preferences, which we'll talk about a little bit more, and the parents' willingness to facilitate with each other the relationship with the non-custodial parent, because sometimes that's an important consideration if the court sees somebody's not playing in good faith and not allowing the parent to see the other child to see the other parent. So the court's primary concern is always going to be the health, safety, and welfare of the kids and trying to avoid detrimental conditions. And as I tried to say earlier, frequent and continuing contact with both parents is going to be really important. So that parents should understand the court thinks it's important that they share their responsibilities unless there's a reason not to do that. And also another thing the court considers really important is that they try not to split up siblings. So, you know, whenever possible, they're going to try and keep that sibling bond and not split up kids.
Irrespective of the age.
I mean, it does happen occasionally. I've seen it in my practice, but it's not usual. And usually there's going to be a compelling circumstance where, for example, one child is like an acting out, you know, 17-year-old, you know, and it's the teenage child's being really disruptive, but dad somehow has more time and ability to manage that child. Get the child ready for, you know, college or whatever the case may be.
Mary Ann, do you work directly with the children? You mentioned that when the parents come in, you have this photograph of the kids in front. Do you actually work with the kids?
Once in a while. Just as in collaborative process, we try not to spend too much time with the children because we recognize they've already experienced a big loss, and I don't want a child getting attached to me and then losing me. So if a child really wants to have input, or if I think this particular co-parenting couple needs to have the child's voice expressed through me and it helps me to bring them back onto the same page, I can say, look, I know your kid would not want that. Or I know that your kid would really benefit from the two of you getting this issue resolved. Then that can be useful.
In your experience, have you had such experiences where the children are involved and where you're talking to the kids? Could you give us some examples without obviously being specific?
Just a couple times I've done that. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I do work primarily with the parents.
Is it successful? Is it a good way of handling things and dealing with things and resolving issues and conflicts?
I think it's been somewhat helpful, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is the difference between a therapist and a divorce coach, and who may benefit from divorce coaching?
When we refer to divorce coaching, I think we're for the most part talking about the collaborative process. Although I sometimes call myself a divorce coach in a high conflict divorce, that's usually when I'm working with one parent or one person struggling through the divorce process. And divorce coaching as a child custody mediation or co-parenting tends to be a lot more directive. I find myself in that sort of work very different than I am as a therapist. As a therapist, I will listen endlessly to what people are telling me, and as a coach, I tend to interrupt sometimes ruthlessly because
I
need
to
get
different hats.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's a different style of work entirely because mm-hmm. it's much more focused on an outcome. And it's my job, as we say in collaborative, my job to get you to the finish line of your divorce. So I'm going to ask your permission to interrupt you a lot if I see you going in the wrong direction. And people give me that permission. Same with child custody mediation. I will interrupt a parent who's starting to blame the other parent and say, look, we need to stay on topic here. Or I'll just talk right over them. It's really quite different.
If you have questions on any divorce-related issue, please call 805-650-1590, 805-650-1590. The advice given by our panel is not intended as legal or other professional advice. For that, you need to set up a private consultation with a reputable professional.
Are you and your spouse at the stage in your life where it's time to move on? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Attorney Lisa Zonder can help you through this process, providing a number of legal options, like traditional court divorce and out-of-court options such as mediation and collaborative divorce. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. ZonderFamilyLaw.com.
I was impressed with Lisa Zonder's knowledge and professionalism, and I'm grateful for her affable attitude through the process. I'm happy with the final product.
Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at ZonderFamilyLaw.com. Mention you heard it on the radio, and your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. Lisa Zonder at 805-777-7740 or email Lisa at ZonderFamilyLaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura and surrounding areas.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonder Style, coming to you each week on AM 1590 KVTA from 3 to 4. This week we're focusing on child custody. If you have any questions, please call us on 805-650-1590. Our email address, it's active right now. We'll see your emails and respond immediately. Lisa at divorcetalkradioventura.com. Also check us out on Facebook at Divorce Lisa Zonder Style. Lisa, does statutory law, California law, mandate any preferences or presumptions that judges have to follow in making parenting plans?
Yeah, they do have very specific guidelines that they're supposed to follow, but again, that's going to leave a lot of power and discretion with the particular judge who is hearing the child custody case, because what the law says essentially is that you have to give a preference is given according to the child's best interest, so whatever that means. And there is no specific preference given based on the gender of the parent. So there used to be in the old days like this tender parents, you know, doctrine where young children were presumed to be better off with the mom, and that's all gone. So now it doesn't matter the parent's gender, and parents who already have custody are favored over non-parents. And courts must consider and give due weight to wishes of children, which is what you asked me about earlier, Colin, of sufficient age and capacity to reason and to form an intelligent preference as to what where they want to be in terms of custody or visitation. And so there is no specific age reference there, but the courts under Family Code 3042 have to consider the wishes of the children. So I want to interject something to answer the question you posed earlier. You said, you know, and clients ask me this all the time is, you know, can your children testify if they want to state their custody preference? Like, I want to live with mom or I want to live with dad. So in 2012, there is a new law that went into effect. It's Family Code 3042 now, if anyone cares. But if the child is of a sufficient age and capacity to reason and to be able to form an intelligent preference as to where they want to live vis-a-vis custody or visitation, the court shall consider and they have to give due weight to the wishes of the child when they make those custody orders. And in particular, if the kid is 14 or older and wants to address the court on issues of custody or visitation, the child is going to be allowed to do so unless the court says it's not in their interest to do so. But there's nothing in the law that prevents the child less than 14 from also addressing the court on custody and visitation issues if the court, again, thinks it's appropriate. The courts really need to step in and, you know, use a lot of good judgment as to which children should be allowed to testify. But what's, I think the way they really take care of the children as witnesses is using alternative means other than having them testify in the courtroom per se. What they'll do is they'll get the information from a mediator, a child custody mediator through the courts in Ventura, or through an evaluator, or through the appointment of minors counsel. So the judges have a lot of tools in their tool bag to be able to find out what the children want without actually bringing them on to testify in the courtroom and putting them on the witness stand. A lot of parents get really edgy around that. You know, they don't want their kids in the middle of their divorce. It brings up a lot of issues for a lot of parents.
Does this relate and refer also to variations in court orders? For example, an order has existed for 5 or 6 years. The kids are now teenagers and they want to change this. So what would be the procedure then? They'd go for a variation?
Yeah, the parent, you know, custody is one of those moving targets is what I call it, because as the children get older and their needs and interests change or the parents' situations change, there are going to be some modifications on the custody issues. So if they need to be changed, you know, the courts don't want you to simply come back, you know, and relitigate issues and get a second bite at the apple if you're unhappy with the original orders. But you know, so if the so let me just say one thing there. The caveat is if the court orders that were initially made are considered permanent, then you'll have to show the court that there has been some change in circumstances in order for the court to consider now what's now in the best interest of the children. So if you have temporary orders, you know, that parents come to like an agreement temporarily about what to do right after the parents split, you don't need to show that there's been a change in order for the court to change the orders again if it's in the kid's best interest to do it. But parents need to think very strongly about how the change in the custody plan is going to benefit the children, not about just asking to change orders just to deny the other parent access to the child.
Yes. Marianne, what should parents going into mediation for child custody do to prepare?
I encourage them to think about what they think will work in their particular family. Because a lot of times parents will simply say, I want 50-50. And I always worry about that because in LA County, 50-50 is, well, the percentages are connected to child support. And I don't want them thinking about money. I want them thinking about the children's needs. So I'll ask them, what does that mean to you? What does 50-50 mean? And it comes down to, I would like to have a significant impact on my child's life. I want to be very involved. I want to have time on a daily basis with my child. And then we know more what it is that that parent wants. And then we have to look at what is going to work. If this, for example, we see firefighters a lot. And firefighters have a very unusual schedule that changes frequently. And it's very tough to come up with any kind of a, there's no way to come up with a standard plan that's going to work from week to week.
Any of the emergency services for that matter.
Right.
Right. So what are some of the more common issues you see in mediation?
I see communication difficulties. I would say that's primary, especially when there are conflicts from the past that haven't been resolved. And frequently, it's very tough for parents to work together when they're still angry over the affair or the alcoholism or other perceived wrongs from the past. And so lots of times I'll get a new set of co-parents in my room, and one is very much playing a victim role. And that's really kind of tough to try to get that person off of that victim stance in order to start thinking about the children and put the children's needs first. And sometimes people are simply not emotionally mature enough to do that. I also see a lot of boundary issues. For example, you mentioned earlier about parenting styles. And
yes.
And when there are differences between the parents, and one will be angry at the other for allowing a different bedtime or different. Oh, last night I had two co-parents in my room, and one is vegetarian in his household, and the other one is trying to hand him a bag full of food for his house, including meat.
So how do you resolve that then?
Well, essentially, it's not her business what he eats at his household. That's a boundary. That's what I was referring to it by boundaries. Co-parents have to recognize that there are different boundaries now that they are living in separate households.
Unless it's clearly unhealthy for the child.
Well, if it's a safety issue, right? If it's a joint legal issue involving health, education, general well-being, including safety, then naturally that would be that parent's business. But again, you don't try to force or impose your will on the other parent. That's going to be met with a brick wall.
805-650-1590 is the number to call if you have any questions for our panel of divorce experts. Jerry, over to you for Money Matters for just a moment. We've been talking about child custody. Let's get into the support and the calculation of child support. And I'm sure many of our listeners will wonder and want to know how that works. Could you explain, please?
Yes, child support and spousal support are somewhat similar, but they are based on a few different factors. For child support, as we mentioned earlier, it heavily based on the timeshare or the physical custody. So in a 50-50, there's other factors, but if the time each parent spends is even, that's not going to sway the money part of the support. The other big factor is the income. And where it's difficult sometimes to help the both parties understand income, it's not what's on your tax return, it's not what you take home, it's not the net pay on your paycheck. There's very specific regulations and specific ways to calculate income for support in California. And usually one parent kind of likes it and one parent says, that doesn't seem right, that's not my take-home pay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to gather information and try to determine based on how the California code looks at it to measure what that income is. And then the income from both party, the bigger the difference, if one's making twice as much as the other, support may not be twice as much, but the higher earner is going to pay more support. And that's in contrast with the timeshare. And there's a program used in California that the dad is input. Some of the taxable items that you incur, like property tax or anything you deduct on your return, some of those are factored in. So there is some tax issue to it. But it's not just a straightforward percent or a straight calculation.
That's the DISOMASTER, am I correct?
Correct.
Right. So is child support taxable?
Child support is not taxable, so the person paying it cannot deduct it, and the person receiving it doesn't have to pay tax on it.
I brought up, Lisa, just a little earlier about children who have grown up, say, from preteen to teen and want to make changes. So if a parent wants to change the custody arrangement, for example, they want more time with the children, how does that work?
Well, if a parent wants more time with the children as they're getting older, you mean as they're getting into teenage years?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that happens a lot. You know, like I said, the custody plans are like a moving target. I mean, they're moving, living, breathing, just like the kids and their families. And so you could use a child custody mediator like Marianne Aronson and go talk about it and write up an agreement on a voluntary basis. Or you could go to the court if you're unable to reach an agreement with your, you know, former spouse, and the court will then send you to a child custody recommending counselor for mediation. That will then result in a recommendation so the court can make some decisions. But normally most parents, if they're not high conflict, are able to work those things out and come up with parenting plans that are workable, because oftentimes the children will want to spend more time with, you know, one parent or the other as they get older. What do you find, Marianne? Do you see that a lot too with teenagers?
Yes, as a matter of fact, teens, and I suspect it has to do with their internal flux and turmoil. There's so much change going on inside of them. They often find that going back and forth, which they did happily for several years before, is no longer workable for them, and they kind of need a sense of stability in one home more than in the other.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle on AM 1590 KVTA.
Are you and your spouse at the stage in your life where it's time to move on? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Attorney Lisa Zonder can help you through this process, providing a number of legal options, like traditional court divorce and out-of-court options such as mediation and collaborative divorce. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. ZonderFamilyLaw.com.
I was impressed with Lisa Zonder's knowledge and professionalism, and I'm grateful for her affable attitude through the process. I'm happy with the final product.
Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at ZonderFamilyLaw.com. Mention you heard it on the radio, and your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. Lisa Zonder at 805-777-7740 or email Lisa at ZonderFamilyLaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura and surrounding areas. A significant portion of most divorce settlements involve financial issues, especially in today's tough economic times. Jerry Cohen, a regular guest on the show and a divorce financial planning specialist, will help you and your spouse reach a fair and equitable financial settlement. Having the right information now can help you from having to revisit tax and financial issues in the future. Call Jerry Cohen on 805-200-5044, 805-200-5044, or email jcohen@cdfplanning.com. Jay Cohen at cdfplanning.com. Visit the website at californiadivorcefinancialplanning.com for more information.
A couple of shows ago, we had a call from a gentleman who wanted to move to Colorado with his kids. What does the law say about that, Lisa, when one of the parents wants to move away? They've remarried or a new job or something, and they want to take the kids to another state.
Yeah, the law on moveaways is pretty complicated, but let me try and give you some general concepts on moveaways. So the court can't restrict a parent from moving. The judge doesn't have a right to say, you know, you, Colin, cannot move out of state. What they can do is say, you are free to move, but you may not move with the children unless, you know, certain predicates are met. So if the move is far enough away that the custody and visitation arrangements are going to be changed from the existing plan, and the parent that wants to move, wants to make that change, they're going to have to file with the courts unless they can, of course, mediate or, you know, work it out on a collaborative basis, which are two processes I always encourage, as you know, on this show. But if they're going through the courts, they're going to have to file a request for order and ask the court to modify the child custody arrangement and talk about the move away. It is a very complicated topic, and so the courts are going to look at a lot of different facts and circumstances to decide if moves are going to be allowed. So it's a good idea for any parents wanting to do a move to actually talk to a lawyer to see what the most recent cases are and, you know, how they apply to their specific facts in their case. But what the law says is if a parent shares equal time they have joint physical custody with substantially equal time and one wants to move away, that in these situations, the court's going to look at the situation as if it's a new custody arrangement. And from the beginning, they're going to, de novo is what we call it, they're going to look at what's in the children's best interest. So when both parents have those substantial time shares with the kids, they're not going to require you to prove that there's a changed circumstance. So in that case, they're going to allow you to have a custody evaluation, which is a report that is generated after a custody evaluator, usually a psychologist, generates a report to the court for review after interviewing, you know, the parties and their children and other collaterals who may be important, like teachers and, you know, people who give extracurricular activity lessons and things like that. And then the court's going to consider all of the evidence and hold a hearing. But if, and that's for joint legal custody where parents share. If a parent has sole legal custody, on the other hand, and wants to move away, then the parent who has sole legal and physical custody, they're going to be able to move unless the parent who is objecting to the move, they're resisting the move, they're going to have to show, for example, that detriment or harm would result to the child. And so they're going to argue that the court shouldn't grant the move because there's going to be detriment or harm to the child. So if the resisting non-custodial parent doesn't make the showing to the court that there's going to be harm to a child or children, then the court can actually deny your right to have a hearing and say, sorry, you don't get to have a hearing and you don't get to have a custody evaluation because you're not the custodial parent. So it's really important, I think, to caution clients when they're entering into their marital settlement agreements or stipulations, when they make these custody plans to begin with, that they consider that if they're taking a really low parenting timeshare, that they run the risk that the court eventually may make it difficult eventually to defeat the other parent's request to move. So they need to think about that when they're making their initial orders.
There's also the aspect of the kids who may be objecting to this because they've got their foundation in the community. They have clubs, social events, they've got school, they've got friends, all of these things. While the parents may agree on the one parent moving away, the kids may say, no, I mean, I've got a life here.
Right.
So that's a problem, right, Marianne? What is your experience in that regard?
Well, absolutely. That's my experience, that kids need to have a voice in the process. We talked about this earlier, too, how important it is that children have their wishes known, but I think it's also really important to say that children need to not be the ones making the decision.
Yes, yes.
Because that's too much power for a child.
Well, what are some of the things that parents can do to make sure they provide a safe, stable environment for their kids?
You know, we talked earlier about there being different rules at different households. And just as Mrs. Needle in fourth grade and Mr. Ross in fifth grade.
They may be listening, so.
I'm just making them up.
I know.
If the rules within Mrs. Needle's classroom are stable and Mr. Ross's rules are stable within his classroom, kids learn to adjust to that.
Yes.
They can handle that. That's why I think that they can handle different rules in different households.
Right. Jerry, does child support include payments for college-related expenses for children?
The law doesn't require it, and in general, Lisa could probably address this better, but in general, you could pretty much have anything you like as long as it's not illegal in your agreement, your settlement agreement. It brings up an interesting issue, though. I always suggest to the parents to think about, even with young children, some of those issues while they're in the process, while they're getting legal and financial information and advice. They may want to plan for that. And again, even though it may not be required, it's a good time to think about it. And having a plan for how the college will get paid for, maybe there's a joint savings account or asset the couple has now that wants to set that aside, again, with an agreement that would be used for the children's education. Other times we see the parents may want to both agree same or different amounts that they'll each fund a college savings plan or a 529 plan, which has some tax benefits if they follow that. So it's with a lot of the work we do on the financial side, we try to look ahead. We try to make recommendations where they could not react to something later on. If it's something we could predict or they wish to do, let's try to build it into the plan while we have while the process is open, we could put it in the agreement.
Right. We've been talking about parenting plans. Lisa, what is the upside or, in fact, downside of a detailed parenting plan?
Well, Marion and I can probably answer that one jointly, but what I would say is, as an attorney, it always concerns me when the plans are not actually detailed enough. Because I have parents who sometimes say to me, you know, I just want to write down here that we share joint physical custody and we work it all out anyway, you know, we'll figure it out together. And, you know, we've worked it out for so long. I just call him or he calls me and we just, you know, kind of make the visitation happen or the parenting time happen. And to me, that's always good for so long as it's working. And I always say it's good until it's bad, you know, and then when it turns bad, the problem is, you know, now you don't have these orders that seem enforceable, because if one parent, you know, gets pretty frustrated that the other parent didn't show up for the visitation and they have to go to work, you know, what are they going to do about it? Or if law enforcement is called because the child wasn't brought back in time, there's nothing in the agreement that actually details what the obligations are for either of the parties and what their rights are. So, you know, even the holidays, you know, if you don't have start and stop times, it just creates havoc around holiday times. And then, you know, how does the judge even enforce the order? You know, you now bring it to the judge and say, hey, I'm frustrated, Your Honor. This is, you know, we're not having, you know, this is not working out. And the judge is going to look at the order and say, okay, it says you share physical custody. What's the judge going to do with that? Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to have to probably send you to a mediator to figure
it
out.
Right, right. I'd like to add a little to that, if I might, too, that I've seen several cases where co-parents are getting along beautifully and they have a fairly flexible co-parenting plan. It's going nicely. And then one of them gets a new partner and all hell breaks loose.
Yes. You'll
Is that okay to say on
the Yes,
air?
It's fine.
And
you've said it anyways.
This is true.
That's
this is true.
That is
and
true.
So suddenly a relationship that was very amicable and cooperative is very angry and very volatile. And so there you have it again. If they had a detailed parenting plan, they can at least fall back to that, even if they had been more flexible than that. Now they have a default that they can now look at and read over and adhere to.
Lisa, how can clients prepare against custody disputes that possibly end up in court?
Well, the first thing I would say is, you know, if they're going to possibly end up in court, they may want to get a litigation consult from somebody who specializes in child custody litigation. Obviously, if they can work out their differences through a collaborative or mediated process, that's always, in my mind, preferable. But sometimes it's inevitable that they're going to end up in court because they just are so polarized and they're not willing, or one is not willing, to participate in an out-of-court proceeding. So if they do end up in that direction, you know, one of the things they can do is keep a journal of parenting time that shows exactly what their involvement's been, you know, how much time they spend with the child or the children, what activities they're involved in. If there's negative stuff that the other parent is doing that concerns you, you would want to, you know, keep some kind of a log about that so that you can bring it up to a judge if necessary, if there are disparaging remarks being made, or if the other parent, for example, I've heard these, you know, stories all the time where, you know, I keep calling and I've gotten a cell phone for the child and the other parent confiscates the cell phone and so on and so forth. So if you keep a diary of all of that, and, you know, be prepared also to depict to the court what your living environment is like. You know, are you, you know, employed in a stable job? Are you involved with the children on a regular basis? You know, just to show what your life is like with the child so the judge can get an idea. And also, knowing that you're going to probably end up, at least, you know, in Ventura County, you're going to get a recommendation, but you're going to be going to a child custody mediator or recommending counselor, make sure that you arrive on time when you go see that court-ordered mediator, that you come suitably dressed to court, that you speak to your lawyer about, you know, having this mediation, what you should expect and how long it's going to last, and, you know, whether you need a custody evaluation in your particular case. So it's a really good idea, and what I do with my clients is I not only talk to them about the mediation process, but oftentimes I'll actually send them to another evaluator or child custody mediator and say, why don't you go there? And they can kind of give you a really good sense of what to expect when you go to court, and you'll, you know, how to conduct yourself. You'll know what issues to bring up. And it's not really prep, like you're not trying to make them look different, you know, as the custody mediator doing a prep, but you're getting them ready so they know what to expect, how to present themselves, and so on.
We've been talking about best interests of the kids, of the children, throughout this the course of this hour. Perhaps in a minute or two, if either of you could sum up what your opinion is of what the best interests of the children are. What are the best interests of the children?
Well, that depends on the children. So one of the things I work with parents to do to try to determine that is to think of the information that each of them gets from the child as puzzle pieces. Information from what children say and information from observing the child. So instead of bringing that information and hurling it as an accusation against the other parent, I encourage them to sit together and put their separate puzzle pieces on the table together, such as, you know, Johnny told me that you let him stay up till midnight last night. Maybe you can shed some light, as opposed to, what is wrong with you that you always let Johnny stay up until midnight?
Right.
Right. So then they bring the best the puzzle pieces together, and that tends to help form a picture of what is more in the children's best interest. And if both parents are thinking about the children's needs, now we have a much better chance with their two brains and their two sets of observations to try to figure that out.
Lisa, do you have an input on that from a legal perspective? Well, I just want to remind you that we're on the air every week, 3 to 4 on KVTA, Ventura County's own divorce talk show on AM 1590 KVTA, each Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. In the studio, Lisa Zonder, a divorce attorney specializing in mediation and the collaborative divorce process, and Jerry Cohen, a divorce CPA. Our special guest this week has been Mary Ann Aronson. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, Colin. It's
really
been fun for me, too.
Appreciate your input, and thank you so much. As I said, our regular panel, divorce attorney Lisa Zonder and Jerry Cohen. Jerry, thank you very much for joining us this week.
Thank you, Colin.
And we'll see you again next week. And Lisa, once again, thank you for your valuable input in all aspects of divorce.
Thank you, Colin. It's great to be here.
Remember, our number is 805-650-1590. Our topic next week is more lighthearted, love after divorce and internet dating. Who's our guest? Who's our special guest?
We have Dr. Dobrin from Newbury Park.
It's going to
be with us.
Yeah, it's going to be lots of fun. So please join us next week. I'm Colin Fluxman.
Tune in every Saturday at 3 p.m. for Divorce Lisa Zonder Style.
This radio programming is not intended to encourage anyone to seek a divorce. The producers assume that callers are seeking basic information. The radio program is intended to be an informational format and does not constitute legal advice. Anyone with legal, mental health, financial, or other professional questions is directed to retain a competent professional after carefully interviewing qualified professionals. A guest appearance by a particular panelist does not constitute a specific recommendation by the producers as to the expertise of that professional, nor does that panelist's views necessarily reflect the views of the producer.
We're Newstalk.
Look out, here comes!
1590 KVTA.
Ventura, Oxnard, Carpinteria.